Good afternoon. We're calling this meeting to order. This is the Amador Area District Board of Directors meeting for Tuesday, January 15th, 2019. Would you please join us in Pledge of Allegiance? All right. Well, thank you. Looks like we're missing the member from Ione and also from Amador City. I think that would be correct. Do you know, Jim, are they going to be sending in when they change memberships? I mean, as far as who they have Nick, on this side? Yeah.
Jim, your mic's not on. Or it's either spoken.
Yeah, so the we'll follow up on that, but I'm assuming at this point that it's the same members from Ione, Amador City, and Plymouth.
Yeah, okay. And maybe give Plymouth a reminder that, you know, they might want to show up or more often if they could.
Yeah.
If they're interested.
I will.
Did we have – well, I'll wait till we get to the minutes. Sorry.
Okay. We've got a quorum and approval agenda.
Move to approve as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Carries unanimous. With that, we'll move on down to public matters on the agenda. Is there any members of the public like to address the board? Doesn't look like it, so.
Richard.
Richard, you have a comment?
I thought you wanted.
I'm going to wait for the minutes.
Yeah, he's going to wait.
Oh, I didn't hear that part. Sorry.
And any board members have any issues? CNN, move down to administrative matters. Item number one is minutes, review and approval of August 21st, 2018, board minutes.
Did we have a Plymouth person on the board?
Yes, we do. And Director Peters just brought that up, that the name John Colburn from City of Plymouth should appear under absent on roll call under the minutes. So we will make that change.
Well, it should appear on every vote, then, I would think, as absent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But I have some other corrections, too. Most of them are minor, with just a comma here or there. But on page 3, under item 4, the budget, right in the middle, direct Forrester motion to close the item for public hearing discussion. There's no second and nothing showing that the motion passed.
Yep, I had the same. Any more, Richard?
We'll go back to the tape and we'll make that change with the appropriate
measures. Yeah, and I'll submit mine to our clerk for the miscellaneous commas. So I'll move approval with the
I have comments.
Hold
well.
Hold that. Mr. Peters.
Mr. Chairman. Bottom of page 1.
Yeah, you made the motion. You made the motion. Or second, you second the motion. Oh, that's what you're talking about. Page 1.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Bottom
you were
page
absent.
1, approval of the agenda. Absent council member Peters isn't quite right.
That's right.
Probably should be Axe, maybe.
Colburn?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I showed up at...
We have you coming in at 145.
145.
That's 138. Huh? Yeah. Well, it says 138. Oh, wait, never mind. I got it mixed up. I said I did. All right. Yeah, 145.
Okay, we'll make that change on approval of the agenda.
You know, another question... when you have, like, absent on roll call, would it be possible maybe, like, otherwise you don't realize somebody showed up in a meeting unless you read the whole minutes.
Uh-huh.
Would it be possible to put, like, where Frank showed up at 145, would it be possible, like, in the first page, just put, you know, maybe.
Instead of buried within the minutes, put it up front? Yeah.
And with that, I think, Richard, and you're going to make a motion?
I have a few other comments, if you don't mind.
Oh, you got more? Oh, I'm sorry. Pardon me.
Cut me off, man. top of page two, this is agenda item number one, the minutes. Absent should be Supervisor Axe.
That's true.
Top of page three, this is action item number three, no members absent. And that also applies to items four and...
Page two has the same issue, yeah.
Yep.
And on action item number four, I believe the vote count is wrong. Also, action item number four should reflect, the absent line should probably reflect that I had stepped out of the meeting due to a conflict of interest.
Was that number four?
That was also number four, yes.
Wherever it says no members absent, there's going to be at least one member absent with Plymouth.
And watch the vote count on all of those. Just double check.
Yep.
The vote.
But back to page two, it shouldn't say Supervisor Axe. It should say Director Axe.
Yes, it should. And it does say at the bottom of four, Director Peters returned to the meeting. You're seeing up at the top, it says Director Peters stepped out of the meeting. Is that what you were?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. Okay. You're right. That's fine.
You know, question, Jim.
Yes.
Would it be advisable to bring these minutes back with changes? I think you have them all down.
Next time? Yeah. And I want to mention that these minutes were done by Robin Springsteen, who we had temporarily filling in. And so Robin, yeah, stepped away. Hermenia came back in. And I actually, now that I'm seeing these corrections, should have gone through this a little more carefully. So I'll take responsibility for that and make sure in the future that we put definitely the time and energy into reviewing these minutes that's needed.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, hey, we're glad you're back, put it that way.
Well, yeah, I did have a slight gallbladder issue over the holidays, so. A slight meaning emergency surgery in the middle of the night.
We had enough changes on this. I'd kind of like to see a clean copy come back.
And come back.
Yeah. You will. You'll see it come back next time.
Yeah.
Let's hold it over.
That'd be good. This is that, and now item number two, the one I'm looking for, election of officers for 2019.
Yeah, and so this is what we do every year in January. The board selects the chair and vice chair. And so current sitting chair, obviously, is Director Onetto. And then vice chair is, I forget, who do we have for vice chair? It's Bob. Yeah, so Bob's vice chair. So the options are, I think we can handle both chair and vice chair in one motion, if that's okay with the board. But the options are to select anyone for chair and vice chair, or rotate vice chair in, or whatever the board chooses.
I'd kind of like to rotate the vice chair in. You'd be willing to do that?
I'll second that if that's a motion.
Okay.
Vice chair in, and then do you want to also include in your motion a new vice chair?
No, I want to do this just to give him his kudos. So.
Okay.
Okay, so we're just...
Thanks.
We'll do the chair first then.
Yeah.
So we got a motion there, and I think we had a second down here. Was it Robin? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That carries unanimous. Now, as far as vice chair nominations.
Who wants to do it? I would move that Supervisor Director Axe be placed in the vice chair role.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Carries unanimous. Congratulations.
All right. Take the chair now, or do you wait till after this meeting?
I think we typically hand over the gavel right
now. Come on, Bob.
Oh.
It's all yours.
You better take your stuff down there. Because that's got the override on it. Stop anybody from talking.
That's where you launched it. Have a handing over ceremony?
Yeah.
don't think we're that formal.
Yeah. Okay, I'll do my best here. So next item on the agenda, number four, public hearing rule 402 change.
Number three.
Meeting schedule. I was on the wrong page. So has everybody had a chance to look over the meeting schedule?
I move to approve that schedule.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? None. Motion passes.
Just these... We were kind of going every other month, but starting in February, but now we're starting in January every other month.
Let's see. We started in January last year.
Did?
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
So, yeah, and sometimes with the budget approval needed, we squeeze in an additional meeting, or if there's, like this last October, there wasn't anything real pressing on the agenda, so we didn't have a meeting in October, but... typically, we do go every other month, generally.
Okay, anything else on that? Okay, item four, public hearing rule 402 change.
Okay, and this is coming back to you from last year in March 20th at the meeting of the Air District Board of Directors. The district rules were updated and approved as updated. However, since then, we've gone through the rules and had the opportunity to find two mistakes that should not have appeared the way they did in our current rules. And in Rule 402, Section C3, the following language, 1,000 cubic inches cylinder displacement. The rule should have read 50 horsepower. In Rule 402, Section E, the following language was 50 million British thermal units. The rule should have read 1 million British thermal units. And these are thresholds that have to do with our permitting of sources, so it's important for us to have these accurate in the manner that they should be. And so this was, I think there was some... crossing up of information where the wrong information got plugged in and was carried through to the rules that were approved. So what we'd like to do is have a public hearing, receive any input from the public, and then at the close of the public hearing, approve the changes to the district rules. And district staff did post this rule change with 30 days advance notice and ran an ad in the local newspaper in compliance with noticing requirements.
So that public hearing will be in at our next meeting?
No, it'd be right now.
Right now.
Right now. We'll open the public hearing, yeah.
Okay, so let's open it up for public hearing. Anybody wishing to discuss this item, come forward.
Can you come up to the mic, please?
Public matter not on the agenda. Because I just assumed when I come, always, not always, sometimes we lag behind.
Maybe we'll do this, and then if the chair would like to maybe revisit public matters.
Sure. Okay. Sure.
Oh, okay. Okay. Thank
so
you
we'll
very
be right
much.
Back to you.
Sorry, I'm late.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
I do have a question. Who made the errors plugging in? Was that our district engineer?
It was.
And we're going to rehire him today.
Discuss rehiring
him. Well, I don't know. Looking at it, how do you not see the difference between 50 million and 1 million? But maybe he was in a hurry.
Yeah, that was something that I was. Yeah.
I'm glad we caught it.
So I'll make the motion to approve the above reference changes to the district rules, the 50 horsepower and 1 million BTUs in the appropriate places.
Okay.
Okay, we have a motion by Director Axe, second by Director Crew. All in favor?
Aye.
And aye.
Opposed? None. Carries. Okay, so we'll come back to public matters not on the agenda. Can you come forward now? That's you.
Afternoon.
Again, my name is...
Can you pull the mic down, please? Thank you.
Now?
Early.
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
That's better.
My name is Rhonda DiAgostini, and I was here, several months back when they raised the garbage rates, and I had a question about what you're going to be talking about, number 7, APCO's update for smoke reduction bin program, pine needle bins. I was here for that in regards to the garbage rates going up because I have a 96-gallon garbage can, which I fill with yard waste. But I wasn't able to use those garbage bins because there's no way to get to them. So that might be addressed. But now, also what might be addressed with the smoke reduction bin program, pine needle bins, is the fact in my neighborhood, several of my neighbors burn leaves on a burn day, which is perfectly fine, but people don't tend to their fires. They don't keep their fires going. And it smokes out the entire neighborhood. It's bad for air quality. It's extremely bad. Is there a procedure that people are supposed to follow when they're burning leaves? And if there is, I'd like to know what that is. And if there's some place that I can call about that to report people who are not doing that properly, I'd like to be able to do that also.
Sounds like their leaves are wet, you know.
Well, if they got smoke. Out there and stayed with them and kept turning them over to get that fire going, but they have a tendency to light them and go in the house and let them burn for days.
Right.
And with that and the wood burning stoves, the air quality in Ranch House Estates on some days is awful. I mean, you can just see it in the air. You can have all your windows and doors closed, and smoke's in your house.
I don't think there's any rule out there to tell people how to burn leaves correctly. I think we can advise them. You should cover them. They should be dry. But the only other way is just to ban all outdoor burning.
Well, that might be a good idea.
But no, it's not.
They're supposed to stay with their fire. Right.
I thought that there was wording that stated that with burn permits, that a fire should be attended. Is that correct?
We do. We do have a guidance flyer that we provide to people, and we have done outreach and education and run an ad in Amador Community News, Ledger Dispatch, and on KVGC Radio in the past. Describing what our guidelines are and our recommendations. Richard's correct in that our rules say that the material should not be green. So it doesn't say that it can't be wet, but it can't be freshly cut green. It should be, dried to some extent. But we do advise people to burn hot, dry material, tend to it, turn it, get air, oxygen circulating into the fires. So we do provide that information, and we are a complaint-driven enforcement agency. So I highly recommend that you call our number and give us a complaint if somebody is burning in a way that's affecting your property or your health and welfare, and we will respond. And we complete an investigation. We take action as appropriate. So we do take our complaints seriously. So if you had a situation where, somebody was burning and it was affecting your health, then, you would want to call us.
Thank you very much. I didn't know if that was even possible, but I know I could have called, but I also came to the public hearing because I wanted to hear what's going to be talked about on number 7. That's a twofold. Thank you, gentlemen, for your time.
Yeah, and just so you know, the reason I don't want to stop burning is I can understand at times people don't burn the way they should. But just for fire safety, we have to be able to clean up stuff, and burning is one way people can do it. I'd say one thing you might want to do if your neighbors are halfway decent people, you might want to talk to them and say, hey, you know, would you, if you covered your pile, it'd burn a lot cleaner. And sometimes people just don't know. And if you approach them nicely, a lot of times people will do something for you. If you go over there and say, you better do this, well, the fight's on. But it might work. And then if not, you can always call, like Jim's, call the air pollution and lodge a complaint, and maybe he could talk to them. But I think the first step would be to try to talk to your neighbor, if they're decent people, and say, hey, you know, could you help me out maybe?
That makes sense. Thank you.
Okay. So moving on to item number 5. Carl Moyer, Rural Assistance Program, Application Resolution 19-01.
Yes, and this is a resolution that's required as part of the Carl Moyer program that the district participates in, and it's referred to the Rural Assistance Program, the RAP funds. The Amador Air District allocates our funds for a 5-year period to RAP. This allows us to continue receiving the future solicitations, but to take no action unless we choose to change, rescind our designation. So have done this in the past, and this is just a continuation of that. Resolution 1901 is approved, is presented for signature, and it shows the fiscal years for Moyer project, the Moyer years that are in this period. So we're looking for a approval of this resolution.
So I noticed you circled year 21-22, so on. Is that 2021-22, so on?
That's correct.
So
I don't think that's correct.
No, it's not.
No.
Is it? What is it?
It's. I think it starts off with, isn't it 19, Robin?
Yeah, they don't line up.
Yeah.
Oh, they don't?
No.
Oh.
It says it in here somewhere.
Oh, yeah. 18-19. Clearly it says 18-19 is year 21. So year 22 will be 19-20 and so on.
Jim, have we done this for 5 years in the past?
Yes, we have. Yeah.
I think like with Ampine, did they utilize this funding?
They have. Yeah, we've had several different projects. What are the most recent ones we've?
Ampine was one of them that they did.
Well, oh, we also did Lopez, the A&M.
That was a couple years ago. A
couple years ago.
And then we're in the process of doing Rosebuds.
We're doing one right now for the Rosebuds Cafe for a tractor they got.
Is it like a repower, the engine? Is that what it's for?
It can be, but in this case for the tractor, I think it's for a new tractor, brand new tractor.
Yeah.
If they're talking fiscal year, why didn't this come to us sooner if it's 18-19? That's the start of the program for the 5-year cycle. Did we just receive notice on this not too long ago?
Why, it says year 21 in the resolution, so is 18-19?
No, that's year 21. There's up to year 25, but the years, if you look at the resolution – for fiscal years 18-19, year 21, through 22-23, year 25.
So do those year numbers pertain to how long the program's been in place, Jim? Is that's what it looks like to me.
Yes, so we received this. Would we get this at the end of last year?
Got this, in November. We got it in November.
Can you pull your mic down over there? So
no.
Have a mic?
Have a mic and it's on.
There it is. Okay.
There we go. So we get it beginning of November, and it's all coming from CARB. It's all coming from the State Resource Board, so they're the ones that put the dates together.
So we didn't have a meeting since we received it. This is our first meeting, and it's not due until January 31 of this month. So we figured that it would be appropriate to put into this meeting.
Not due till January 31, but it covers fiscal years 18 and 19 through.
That's CARB.
The date on the form is November 2018. Clearly the forms weren't even.
Yeah, it looks to me like we just lost about a half a year of eligibility. Okay. I'll move to approve. There's no discussion. I'll move to approve the application with resolution 19-01.
I'll second that.
Okay, I have a motion by Director Forrester, a second by Director Onetto. All in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? Okay, item number 6, contract renewal for engineering services and resolution 19-02.
Yeah, and this is, as was mentioned, the contract for engineering services with Mr. Ray Kapai. And the contract expired with him June 30th, 2017. That was a error on my part. I should have caught that. We have continued utilizing the services of Mr. Kapai. He's been a longtime consultant to the Air District and has assisted us on a number of projects. Since we continued on, what I've got in front of you is basically an extension of that agreement. So from June 30th, 2017, it's been a three-year agreement. So this agreement carries to
June 30th, 2020.
And what I did that because I felt as though we had kind of by default extended this contract by lack of observing that it had expired. And I will mention that, and again, I want to take full responsibility for not catching that. However, on the solid waste side of my responsibilities, I have a number of consultants and contractors that I work with, and I put them on notice that they are to notify me 6 months before the end of the term of their contract and give me written notice that they wish to either extend or renew their contract. I hadn't done this with this contract, and I will be doing that in the future with any of these contracts. But I do hold my consultants and contractors responsible for notifying me 6 months prior to the end of their contract. That didn't happen. The contract expired. So what I did, I put before you, which is essentially an extension of 3 years from the 2017 date. After that time, it would be my preference to go out to bid, open up to see what other options there are for engineering services.
I don't know. It's not like a going out for an audit or something. I mean, he's kept his rates the same, and he does a good job for us. We don't do that much work. So. Besides that 49 million BTU error, I think he does pretty good work. So.
Other than that, he's perfect. I like that he kept his rate the same.
Jim, underpayment.
Yeah.
So the rate of $90 an hour covers, the way I read it, both the services provided and any expenses that he's incurred. So he never has.
That's what it says, yeah.
That's what it says.
Bill
yeah.
for expenses.
That's this was approved by county council, and that's my understanding. Yeah. It's yeah. total cost.
So he never has any like big expense that okay.
I'll have to check if there's so if you're asking if transportation or meals or fuel or
well, I'm assuming that's probably not it, but I don't know if there's I don't know maybe he has to buy something to do the job or I don't know, but that's all covered in his $90 an hour fee.
I can double check that, but the way it's written. Shall constitute payment in full for all services provided and expenses incurred.
Well, as long as he agrees to it. So.
Yeah.
Well,
notwithstanding Director Forrester's confidence in this consultant, I have some concerns, having worked with him over the last couple of years, looked at his billing practices and work products. So I think I would weigh in on Jim's recommendation positively, and that is, I don't mind extending this through 2020 or into 2020, but at that point we need to put it out for bid and see what we have. If this is the best option, then so be it. But I think we do need to explore other options and educate ourselves with respect to other services that may be out there. And I'm not suggesting they'll be any less expensive than this. It'll probably be just the opposite, but we've had some issues in the past, and we need to look into other alternatives.
Yeah, I agree.
Just to be honest to the public.
Okay. Any other discussion? So I will open up this for public comment, because I haven't been doing that so far throughout the meeting. Sorry. Hearing none, seeing none. Back to discussion.
That's it. I move to approve the renewal of the contract and direct the chairman to sign resolution 1902 and the contract.
Second.
I have a motion by Director Forrester, a second by Director Axe. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, carries. Okay, APCO update. Take it away, Jim.
Okay, here's the APCO update, and I can kind of run through these fairly quickly, and we can have discussion if Rhonda wants to come up. But regarding the smoke reduction bin program, pine needle bins, for fiscal year 2017-2018, we had a grand total of $52,586.29 expended on the program. In the first 6 months of fiscal year 18-19, we were at just about 36,600, 35,600. Yeah. So the costs are exactly falling within what we've budgeted previously as part of our budget. So that's good. It certainly isn't cheap. There's some significant expenses to this program. We did make a change, and we pulled what street did we have? Silver Drive bin we had. We pulled that one, and we relocated it to the Mace Meadows Golf Course, and we seem to have better luck with that location. We did not have the dumping and a lot of the problems that we had in the past with the Sierra Drive. My recommendation when I come back to you in March, I would like to come forward with some ideas regarding this program. I may suggest some changes regarding the Pine Acres location, because we do continue to have some problems with dumping and some use by landscapers and contractors. So I'm thinking we may want to make a change there. We may, in fact, want to change to, you know, there's kind of two sides to this. We have the publicly accessible bins that Rhonda was talking about having a hard time getting to. Then we have the neighborhood bins, where we say we have a neighborhood that's interested in having a bin where a group of neighbors can utilize a bin, and we have much better luck with the way the bin is kind of monitored and taken care of and called for servicing. So I may look at bringing back to you in March a program that focuses specifically on that side of the program and less of these unattended wide open bins where anybody and everybody can dump any hour of the day. Those seem to be where our problems are with this program. But we do get positive feedback, and you'll see in the correspondence we do have a letter from Maggie, who wanted to thank us for the bins and all the help that it does in her community. So we do get positive feedback. I think it is a good program, but there are some problems with it, and it is expensive. So I think we'll really need to look at that in March when I come back. Rhonda, if you want to, or if...
You know, there was discussion in the past as far as splitting it into two burn periods throughout a year. Did that happen this
year? We did do that, yeah. So we...
Yeah, okay.
Yes, we did. So it was April, May, June, and then we were down for... No, wait a minute. Yeah, July, August, we were down, and then September, October, November. So we ran 6 months, two split three-month periods, and seemed to go well, seemed to be good.
What kind of feedback did you get on that at all?
I think the feedback was generally positive. You know, some people were disappointed that the bins weren't out there in July and August. People felt like that's the time when they wanted them and needed them.
Right.
Are
these schedules posted on the Air District website or webpage, or do we have one?
We have a webpage, and we have some information on Pine Needle, but I don't know that we we have listed where they're located.
The time of year, because the reason why I'm making the comment is someone called me over the summer and felt that he had a lot of waste he needed to get rid of, and the bins weren't available, and I told him that, you know, they're only available certain times of the year, and that you can't burn this time of year. And
yeah,
we can't have them out all 12 months of the year. So he understood, but he had just moved to the area and was gung ho on cleaning up his yard.
I think I got that call too.
Okay,
so
did
yeah.
he? I think I may have directed him to speak to you as well. But
yeah,
okay,
I did talk to him, but. We could put the exact location and the times of year when the bins are out, if that's something.
I just didn't have it at my fingertips, so okay.
And so that was my that part of the update. If there was any other discussion, or Rhonda, if you wanted to come up.
Want to come up, Rhonda?
Thank you. Actually, this question is the only bin I had been to is the one that's on Taboo Road. And the time that I went, as you know and you mentioned, is that the back of it was locked up. The doors were locked, and there was no way to get to the top of it unless you were going to climb the ladder to get to the top of it, and they're pretty tall. And being able to climb the ladder with a huge bag of leaves wasn't feasible, and it was dangerous. So has that changed? How do people get to the top of the bin to dump what they need to dump?
That has been one of the problems with this program. And as a matter of fact, the bins were locked by the garbage company, I think starting in the last year, wasn't it? And that was due to liability concerns with the garbage company. They felt like it was exposing them to a liability to have people stepping in and out of these bins. Now it does exactly what you said. It forces people to put their stuff over the side. Frequently,
the liability if someone gets hurt trying to do that.
Frequently, people pull their truck up to the side of it, and they stand in the back of their truck, and they throw it over the side of the bin.
I tried that also. It didn't work for me. I would have had to stand on my cab.
Yeah. And actually, we did receive a report this last year during September, October, November, that someone did either fall or trip and was hurt using our bins. So there's liability all around on this thing. There's liability for us. There's liability for the garbage company. There's risk to the people using it. So this is probably one of the biggest issues, I think, that we need to consider with this program. To answer your question, Yes, so the bins are locked. People are putting it over the side. It is difficult for people to reach it that high. So I don't have an answer to that right at the moment.
My thought was if there could be a ramp that you could, a slanted ramp that goes up closer to the top of the level so you can walk up the ramp and then hurl it over. Does the board realize how tall these bins are? Do they know the height of them?
They're tall.
About 6 feet.
Oh, no, they're taller than that.
I'm six. I'm six, so I think they're 7 feet at least. Yeah. So they're at least up here. Yeah.
Well, when you have a 32-gallon bag of leaves that have been pretty much compressed to fit in a bag, it's pretty hard to hurl that up over the top.
Could you utilize a smaller bag, multiple bags?
I guess one could, yes. Instead, I just pay the $47 a month to fill a 96-gallon garbage can. I have this much garbage. The rest of the 96 gallons is all yard waste at $47 a month. I was trying to utilize another way of getting rid of debris besides burning.
You know, Ron, it's something when I saw a person do one time, it worked pretty good. I mean, one, you always, if you keep it dry, it'll burn pretty hot. It will, but dry. But also a person had something, I thought, man, if I was in pine needle country, I think I'd either build one of those or have one built. He had like four pieces of metal like for legs, and he had like a screen or something where he threw his leaves on top of that, so there's always an air gap under it. And man, when I drove by, it was really burning. I was impressed.
I used to burn in a burn barrel, and my barrel was great. It had little arms in it, like L brackets, and then it had a screen, and below that, it had holes drilled into it so the air could suck under. And then it had other, but then that was banned. We couldn't burn in barrels anymore because of the people who didn't burn properly in barrels.
Or they burned garbage in the barrels.
The state banned the burn barrels, yeah.
Well, the way my neighborhood burns is just as bad as the burn barrels. But that's already been addressed, so thank you. I just wanted to know if that was feasible for them to put some kind of ramp or something that a person could get up higher to the top of the bin.
Well, and there's a couple things I wanted to mention is, you know, we're in the process of, the county is anyways, renegotiating the franchise waste hauler agreement. And one of the things we're looking at is green waste service to upcountry customers. So you would potentially have, a green waste container to use as part of your normal garbage service. You don't have that right now, correct?
No, we don't.
Okay. So that's one thing I wanted to mention. And the other thing is generally speaking, you know, this program came about because of smoke from outdoor burning, and there was a request, hey, is there any way the Air District can put a pine needle bin out? So we put one pine needle bin. It's grown to this program that we have now. And you know, your idea of a ramp, I think it sounds great, but I think that's potentially problematic in itself, too.
That'd be pretty dangerous.
Yeah,
probably.
I think there's problems with that.
Skateboarder.
I'll also point out that it seems now that every time the Air District meets, we discuss a new problem with the bin.
Yeah.
The program overall, this is one problem that we might be able to solve in one way, but the big picture really is, every time we discuss this, we identify another problem and struggle to resolve it. In fact, we haven't resolved most of the problems yet. So this is a big picture discussion that we really need to revisit as a bigger picture. It isn't just solving your problem, Rhonda. It's garbage. It's
liabilities,
you name it.
People getting hurt. Yeah,
and problems at the green waste facility. They can't take pine needles, and it just goes on and on and on. So it's a program fraught with issues that need to be resolved, and
Well, the bins work great.
We haven't resolved them yet.
The bins work great in some areas. Maybe use something like the Comanche program for other areas. They have a voucher program where people can take dishwashers and things to transfer station with a voucher. And they give those vouchers to the homeowners association. Maybe a voucher program where you could take a pickup load of pine needles to the transfer station might be a way to do it.
That is something that I'd like to bring back next time to discuss is options such as a voucher, or we have done the voucher before, but I think we can look at this and see, as Director Peters said, what's the big picture? What do we want to do long term?
Jim, it sounds promising that you're negotiating with the waste hauler regarding yard waste service up country. Where else in the county is yard waste service not available?
Is it non-available?
Not available. Currently in Jackson, Sutter Creek, I presume I own.
Yeah.
Is available. Is it everywhere else that it's not, or is it just the upcountry area?
Basically everywhere else. And the most, inquiries we have is from upcountry. But other places. In some of the areas immediately outside of the cities, but close to the cities, there is green waste collection there by the waste hauler. But the biggest need seems to be upcountry.
That is going to be addressed. And are they working on that now?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we have a meeting scheduled for next Tuesday, and we're looking to we're going to be addressing that very subject on Tuesday, and we'll be continuing negotiations and look in the next several months to hopefully have something done. I can keep you updated.
That would be great. Thank you.
I have your number right next to my computer.
Look out. Is that a good thing? All right. Thank you.
Okay, so I can go on to the wood stove change-out program. And as you recall, we partnered up with El Dorado County Air Quality Management District on this project that was that came through the Air Resources Board and the CAPCOA organization. There was $100,000 total available for wood stove change-out, primarily for low-income areas and low-income residents. And so to date, we've done 16 projects, and 15 of them have been at the maximum reimbursement level of $3,000. I think we've got one or two that just came in. So we're almost at our max, which was $50,000. So this program has gone extremely fast and has been very well received. And, again, it's worked out really well that we were able to partner up with the El Dorado County folks, because they have a whole complement of staff people that can manage all the details of this program. We simply did the local field work here as far as taking pictures and documenting the installation. All these projects did go through our local wood stove installer. So that's where we're at on the wood stove program, and I'll keep you posted if more comes up on that.
So there were no installers from outside our county?
Nope. Okay. Nope, inside our county. And on the electric vehicle charging station, do have an update that City of Sutter Creek is still kind of in a holding pattern until they finish their Main Street downtown project. City of Ione, we heard from the city manager in Ione, and they're working with Upchurch Electric to get a charging unit selected and get the specs and everything outlined for that. So that one's in process. For Amador City, I believe it says here the Amador City Council agendized the topic for the charging station. currently considering a location to serve the public. There's interest from a that's Amador City. And then I also wanted to mention that there's been interest from two folks in the unincorporated county upcountry. One is in Buckhorn and one is in Volcano. And so we have met and discussed the program, and it looks like the Volcano location is interested in the Tesla program. So that Tesla program would be part of our pilot project, but it would enable them to get them a charging station through Tesla. As far as the Buckhorn one, we just recently spoke with the individual up there who has a commercial property and is interested in this program. So we'll have more information next time on that one.
Was the one in Volcano a commercial property?
Yes, it is. It's the bakery. I think it's called Kneading Dough Bakery. Yeah.
And the one in Buckhorn?
And the one in Buckhorn is interest from a commercial. All I have is a name of Bramall. I'm not sure who that is.
Yeah, he's the one that owns that whole plaza there.
Right.
Yeah. So that's that apparently he just made contact with Matt Peterson of my staff, and Matt met with him, and I'll hear more about that.
Not a problem.
Jim, could you remind us, when we set up the program, we had identified a certain number of units in a certain locations, right? We had some targets in mind, and that's how, you know, the board set this up. Can you remind us where those locations
were? It's the three cities, Sutter Creek, Ione, and Amador City. We came up with a pilot project to fund $5,000 for each in each of the three cities. And so that's where we were with that. However, as I said, there was some interest in these two others outside of the county, in the unincorporated county. And my thought was, and I would certainly come back to the board to get approval for this, but if for some reason one or more of the cities is not able to do it, then I would like to present to you perhaps this Buckhorn or another location to fill in for one of the cities if they're not able to do it. But the three cities what the pilot project was.
Thank you.
Where's the location in Amador City?
Let's see. Considering a location that would best serve. So I think they were looking at the Imperial.
Yeah. That would be the best location if Marianne McCamick is willing.
Yeah.
The owner.
So I know they were going to discuss that on their agenda, and we'll be following up. Okay, and want me to go on to the next?
Sure.
Okay, so the next thing I have on here is the U.S. Mine Motocross Facility, and I just put that on there more as just a general information. You know, this motocross facility has created quite a bit of controversy and a stir in the public. They've gone through several starts and stops and false starts with the project. We have been involved with it because there's been some air quality issues brought up. So the Air District has been very much involved in it. Currently, the project is, I guess, in a holding pattern. It doesn't look like it's necessarily gonna get go through, but I just wanted to bring it up. If there was interest from the board of directors, I could bring it back and we could discuss it a little more thoroughly if there was interest. But I just thought you should at least be aware of it. The fact that it was such a controversial issue, and we were involved in it with the air quality. And it's gone to the Board of Supervisors, and it's been discussed there. And so currently, I think where it sits right now is the applicant, U.S. Mine, would need to do a full EIR study, and I think they're considering that option right now.
But just so everybody knows, how it started, it was, I guess they took the theme from a movie, is belt it and they will come. So they belt it completely without permits. It's a full-scale commercial motocross facility, and then they started selling applications online and started touting it as the next Hangtown with 10,000 person events. And so then when they were operating illegally, the community found out about it, primarily not because of the dust, but because of the noise. So that's where the complaints started, and then it went to our planning director, who filed a notice of violation, and they had 10 days to shut down from there, which they did shut down in 10 days, but they operated in that 10 days too.
Know what kind of numbers they get out there during an event?
I don't know, because they shut everything down now, but I know they were selling applications online. They had the one day, Jim Rooney and I drove out there, and you could drive in at that point, and there were probably 10 motorcycles operating that day. But a lot, as one gentleman told me from Ione, he lives down on Marlette Street off in a little development there. He said it sounded like somebody was operating a chainsaw across the fence from him. So just down there, just like in every place in the county, noise travels very different ways depending on what time of day it is. Unfortunately for them, at 7 o'clock in the morning, the noise travels pretty clearly, and that's when they started operating. So, not the best business model.
Okay. So it's currently in a holding pattern, depending on what the applicant decides to do. If they do decide to move forward with their EIR, there certainly will be a lot more, you know, public input regarding this project, and of course the air district will be involved with it because of the air quality concerns that have been brought up. But Director Forster is correct that the noise seemed to be the biggest complaint coming from there.
And we were given the option to do testing on it too, but I think the reason a lot of us wanted to just stop any testing right there is because they needed to do the full environmental impact report on it. Rather than do piecemeal here and piecemeal there, that they were trying to get around all that, in my opinion. And I think that's the way it was.
So I just wanted to bring that to the attention of the Air District Board of Directors, because it was a very, very hot topic at one time. It's kind of died down now, but it could pop back up. If it does, I'll certainly keep you posted as to what the status is.
Okay.
And then I have on here the Purple Air monitors, and I briefly discussed them last time, and I had planned to do a presentation today, but was not able to do that. I do intend perhaps next meeting to do a presentation, because we've gotten more of these little coffee cup size monitors placed throughout the county. And you can go on purpleair.com and you can look real time what the air quality is doing in exactly where we have these monitors. We've gotten these for free. They only cost about $250 a piece, but we've gotten about 12 of them for free from the Air Resources Board. So we keep requesting more, and they keep sending us more. So we're going to keep doing that, because, like I said, they are very helpful, and the schools seem very interested in them. The schools have requested to have them installed, and all they need is Wi-Fi and a power supply, and they've got this little monitor they can stick up and tell them exactly what the air quality is doing at the school location.
You know, question that, Jim. It's also as far as meeting the air quality indexes. Would this, there's only one now, what, DMV station, is that correct?
Yes.
Would these kind of be additional to that, or are they a little different type of testing?
Well, these are going to do just particulate matter, so they're not going to be looking at the ozone and the criteria pollutants that particular station is doing. So these are more specific to just the particulate matter that, you know, is going to cause people with respiratory problems. So it's kind of a, I guess, augment the information we get from there.
Thank you.
Who gets the data off of these? Is it internal in the units, or does it go directly to the air board, or where does it go?
The public. The general public is encouraged to log on and to check these. When you go on to purpleair.com, it gives you a map of the world. And you can see these things all over the world, but you can go to Beijing, China, and see what's going on there. But you zoom in to wherever you want to look, and you can see the air quality in a zoom-in basis.
What's the benefit to us here? I guess you know what the air quality is. Is it useful beyond that?
No, you don't want to go to Beijing, China.
Actually, with the wildfires, our air quality has exceeded Beijing. So we've had some really high numbers.
In Amador County or surrounding counties?
Amador County, yeah. And so it is useful in that sense, because with the more wildfire activity, the more calls we get from people wanting to know, you know, what's the air quality, you know, can I go outside, is this going to affect me? And we have people, we direct them to that website, and they can look it up, and they can kind of plan accordingly. So I think that's the benefit. It just gives more information to the general public. And then moving on, the audit, we just, is it completed or still in progress?
The company is waiting for the audit from the county to be done, and then they will be able to complete our audit.
Okay, so the outside auditor that you approved last time has done the audit of the air district. They're just waiting for information from upstairs here from the auditor's office. And then I would imagine by next time we'll bring back a completed audit for your review and approval. And then the last thing is the financials through January 10th, 2019. Those are attached. And then, as I said before, we've got a correspondence letter from Maggie on the pine needle bins.
Then on the financials, the last page under salaries.
Yes.
You had three pay periods that fluctuated pretty significantly from the 881 to about 88 level. You had one at 13.4 and then two at over 11,000. You know why?
I'm thinking that we had additional costs when we had Robin in here. Are you looking specifically at the October, November, the $211,000 for salaries?
Well, there's August.
There's August, too.
And then there's October, November. And August was really a spike up to 13.4. If you could, right?
We can look at that. I don't know. Right.
So on QuickBooks, with the months that I wasn't here, the reconciliation of QuickBooks wasn't done correctly. So the spike that you see here are some of the numbers that I had to clear through QuickBooks in order for it to get up to speed to where I'm at right now. So some numbers will look a lot higher, but that's just because I had to go back to the months that I wasn't here and fix a couple of errors that were done in there.
Yeah, if you could do a little investigation and give us an answer on that.
Yeah. Sure, and I was thinking, and Hermina, you might be able to correct me, but if you were on maternity leave, you were being paid on maternity leave, and then we were also paying for your replacement during that time, so the cost could have been higher because of that. But we'll look into it.
Extra employee.
Yeah. We can look into that.
But it doesn't reflect that in September.
It doesn't. No. So we'll take a look at that.
Take a look at it and bring it back when? Next meeting?
Next
or,
meeting.
Because that's 2 months away. I'd kind of like an answer a little bit quicker than that.
Okay. I can do it sooner than that.
Yeah.
Richard, I could send you the Pentimation sheets from upstairs, and that has the actual numbers that went out, not necessarily these numbers.
Sometime later this month, if you can.
Yeah. And we can distribute to the whole board of directors.
Sure.
With respect to the financials,
yes.
Note that the Vicini loan showed up on the expense side. Is there a budget amendment done to account for that?
It was included in the budget for the year. Yeah.
Note that the budget columns are all zeros here. Some glitch, I guess, with QuickBooks. Do you use QuickBooks still, Hermine?
QuickBooks for the Air District, it's more for us to keep track of what we're doing. It doesn't ever line up with what is actually in our accounts upstairs. It's aid with it, but it's more for us to, look, we paid this one. But it'll never match upstairs, so. QuickBooks. The upside to it is that it's a little bit easier to look at visually instead of Pentimation, so that's why we include this. But for actual numbers, it would be.
I agree. This is easy to read. That $100,000 showing up on one side of the equation and not on the other. $8,000 upside down. Really didn't account for that $100,000 budget amendment. Anyway, thank you.
Okay. And that's everything I had.
Okay. Well, with that, meeting adjourned.